Brad and I are sharing the message space this morning. And I'm just going to start by mentioning, actually, you might pray for us. Jesus, thank you for these amazing people who turned up when it was really rainy. We bless the ones who didn't or couldn't. We bless Jim and Catherine at the moment as they're awaiting the birth of little Leo. We bless Aidan, who's very unwell as well, and for others, Father, who are part of our church family who are not well. We ask for your grace for them. And we thank you for the opportunity to be family together this morning. Amen. All right. Last Sunday, I shared a little of the vision that God has given to us as a church family. And this is something we feel like God's put on our heart. It's not something we came up with out of the blue. We didn't go up to the mountain and get it, but we did seek God. And as a church family, we involved our small groups and we involved our elders and our key leaders. And we really sought God to say, God, what's your vision for Overflow? And so throughout 2019, that was the process that we did. And we feel excited that we do believe that this is God's vision. So one of the things I was wondering, is there anybody who thinks they might have a go at sharing our mission, which is the four words that we do all the time, and our vision, our new vision? Is there anyone who wants to have a go at remembering it? I know that will be challenging for you. I'm looking for two volunteers to come out and have a go facing the congregation. Zach. Yes, go Zach. Woohoo. Is there anyone else who wants to have a go with Zach? It's worth it, let me tell you. It's worth it. One other volunteer. Margie, good on you. We'll make Zach go first and that way you can hear him as well. All right, Zach, looking that way so you can't see the screen. Off you go. What's our vision for 5 years?
To be a family of wholehearted people, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day, wherever we are.
To become a wholehearted family, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly go and demonstrate his love for us, for others, God's goodness, all the time.
That's good. Every day, wherever we are. Okay, stay here, Margie. Margie, you get to be blessed to be a blessing. The bottom comes off the bottom. You don't have to. No, you get to distribute it generously because you're blessed to be a blessing. Thanks, guys. Yeah, give them a clap for having a go. Woohoo! Last Sunday, I just shared the challenge of what being family is. In case you were wondering what those strange letters that appeared in your mail were, now you should have worked it out. So we talked about flourishing as family last week. This week we're going to be talking about developing as disciples, and next week we're going to be talking about outreaching as overflow. And because you are forgetful and you need practice, we've turned these into some fridge magnets for you to take home and have on your fridge. Thanks, Brad, for organising those. All right, we were talking about, just a quick reminder about flourishing as family from last week. We talked about putting together a team, a flourishing as family team, that we will be encouraging the things that grow family. And we talked about the plan that we have to run a relationships course in second term. So I'm excited about that because relationships really matter. And we also, in second term, we'll be preaching through the whole area of flourishing as family, and we'll be having some activities that help us as a family to flourish. So one of the things that happened last week, which was a huge blessing, was that Donna shared a simple testimony of one thing she does to help the family flourish. And that was such a powerful thing because we saw lots of people doing this. And we heard another testimony this week, Laura, because Laura was sharing another simple thing that she does to help people flourish as family. So these are things that we're investing in so that we do flourish as family. Here she is. Here she is. I just heard her share a story on Monday about just a simple thing, that she does to help people feel like they're part of a family.
Yeah, so just an encouragement. A few times I haven't been able to make it to church, and sometimes I get a text from someone saying, I miss seeing you today, hope everything's okay, and sometimes I don't, and that's fine too. And we're just talking about ways that we can really make sure that we're connecting as family in this place, and we're talking about it at Key Leaders on Monday because of those experiences where I'm homesick or whatever, and I feel like, oh, no one misses me. But then I get a text, or maybe I don't, and I still feel like that. But just the feeling of, like, my contribution matters. Like, people notice when I'm not around. I bring something to the family, and this is our family gathering. And as family, we notice when other family members aren't there. And so my encouragement is to act on those nudges from the Spirit that just say, oh, look, such and such isn't here today, or someone that you're looking forward to seeing, because I think that our influence is much more than we know. Like, those little texts just make people feel loved. I mean, at worst, they're home really unwell, or there's something terrible happening in their life and someone's noticed their absence and they feel drawn in and supported and loved. At best, they're having a bad day and feel grumpy and don't want to come to church. And, you know, once again, like, that's just a lovely thing to be noticed. And your influence and those small things really matter as family. Like, they're the difference between just being a group of people that meet together and people who are seeking the best for each other and loving each other. So I just encourage you, if there's someone that you're looking forward to seeing today and they're not here, maybe just send them a text and say, thinking of you, love ya.
Beautiful. There are other, yeah, those really practical things that just make a difference. Thanks, Laura. Second, the number two one, developing as disciples. So, Brad, developing as disciples, what's that all about?
Well, developing as disciples, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, has got to be a good thing for anyone and everyone. But I guess the thing I wanted to just lead off was just, what does that mean? What does that mean that we have to become like? Do we become more religious? Do we become more theological? God invites us to be transformed and to change. And I was just remembering a story I have shared before in the past, but about eight years ago when a church in Madawi decided to employ me, I was moving up from country Victoria, and the hours of driving up the Hum Highway, pondering lots of different things. And one of the things I was thinking, I'm going up to this new community where absolutely nobody knows me. I have no reputation, I have no history. I can really reinvent myself up here. And what's more, I've been given it, placed into this position called executive pastor, which a lot of people don't know what that means. So I could kind of shape that to, you know, does that mean I could be really corporate and be the executive, you know, assistant and do all the wheeling and dealing, rock up in a suit and tie and make things happen? Or is that more oriented towards a pastor, and do I, you know, become a bit more caring and loving and soft? And, you know, I could reinvent myself. I've got a clean slate. You know, what do I want to be? How do I want to? And almost audibly, I felt God speak to me really clearly. He said, what I want you to be is a Jesus-flavoured Brad and a Brad-flavoured Jesus. He said, "If you have to be authentically you, or you're not going to be as effective any other way." And so I just want to start off with this whole developing as disciples and becoming unmistakable like Jesus isn't about becoming someone that you're not. It's becoming more of the person that you're created to be.
As we allow
ourselves to become more like Jesus in our own skin, with our own idiosyncrasies and personality, it's going to be brilliant. And when we're helping other people to develop as disciples, it's not scary about making them become some religious, churchified being of what they are. It's just helping them become the best form of the person that they could possibly be by allowing Jesus to lead them and shape their lives.
Cool. That's great. So what would we want to see if we were a company of people who are developing as disciples of Jesus? What would you want to see? What would people want to see? Can we get them to have a bit of a think about that?
Yeah, so just in with the people around you. Just want to think, if we were to become a company of people
like
who
Jesus.
Were developing as disciples, a company of people who were becoming unmistakably like Jesus, what would be different? What would we be seeing? How would Overflow Church be different if we were realising this aspect of the vision?
Off you go. You've got 1 minute. Unmistakably like Jesus. What would change? Make sure the other person gets a chance to say something too. Wow, I like that. Okay, so what would we see? And Miss Hannah has a little gem of wisdom here. What would we see if we were becoming unmistakably like Jesus?
Have fun.
We'd have fun together. I think that's a great answer. We would be having lots of fun together because Jesus is very fun. What are some other things that would be happening if we were becoming more and more like Jesus? We'll carry something. We carry something of the atmosphere and people will want what we have. Yeah, that's beautiful. They won't be avoiding us. They'll be attracted to us. One other.
We have one in our group just saying that people would come in with no judgment or less judgment of they are. People can be who they are.
People could be comfortable to be who they are. Yeah, it's great. What are some of your thoughts, Brad?
I think if we were developing as disciples, if we all kind of had that heart posture, then our gatherings would be richer, potentially. I think one thing we shared at Key Leaders late last year was just the fact that church service is designed for nobody. It's like we don't do these gatherings perfectly for any single person.
Oh.
So for some people, it's like the music goes on a bit long. For other people, it's like, why do we stop for less than an hour's worth of worship at the start? For other people, it's like they go on about all this information and announcements. And other people, it's like nobody tells us enough about what's going on around here. The sermons could be a bit long, a bit short, maybe not enough audio, visuals, different types of speakers. You know, it's we try to make the services relevant and impacting on everybody, but it's never going to be perfect for any single person. And I guess if we were embracing a posture of developing as disciples, of becoming unmistakably like Jesus, one, we would be coming into the gathering with a heart that's open for transformation for ourselves, that we would want to allow God to challenge us and make us different, more like Him.
Change me.
Yeah, but there's also the beautiful thing about developing as disciples is not just us. It's us helping other people develop as disciples. So I think even more so, and for particularly those of us who have been following Jesus for a long time, coming to gatherings, wherever we get the opportunity to get together, and what's my opportunity of helping other people become a little bit more like Jesus, other people to know a little bit more about Jesus, for other people to develop as a disciple themselves. So coming into these gathering spaces with a posture of, I'm not here just to get fed myself because, you know, the teaching might not be at the depth of, you know, what really would challenge me. And I've, you know, been around and heard a lot of messages, but how can I be a blessing to people around me and help them become a little bit more like Jesus?
So it's not all about us. Oh, okay. Well, that'll make a difference, won't it? Another thing that I think about when we gather together, you might notice that the seats are in funny places and you might prefer them to be in rows. But, you know, we actually are being quite intentional about this because before COVID, we were all in rows. And you know what I realised during COVID? People can come, they can be spectators and they can go. And whatever their experience has been has actually not made a difference, actually not changed anything. It's not put a demand on us. It's not been an opportunity to really genuinely develop. And you know what? I'm not interested in doing that anymore. So if you come to our gatherings, you're going to be invited to contribute, to participate. And I recognise that that's uncomfortable for some people. But it's still going to happen because you don't develop as a disciple sitting as a spectator. We get to develop as disciples, sitting and sharing and contributing and being part of the family. So this is how we are. And this is really intentional. And I'm sorry if you don't like it, but you'll get over it. You'll get used to it and you'll get to enjoy it and you'll get to think, why would I want to sit and look at the back of somebody's head when I could contribute and actually be family and grow me and grow them? So, hey, this is why we're doing what we're doing.
So, speaking of interaction, we've just got another question. We only got three questions for you to consider this morning. But again, if you could just look for someone around you to discuss, you know, developing as disciples, becoming unmistakably like Jesus doesn't just happen. In fact, there's a lot of things that work against that happening. So just for a minute, if you could just discuss, what are the things that stop us developing as disciples? What are the things that slow or discourage us from becoming unmistakably like Jesus, or stop or discourage other people from becoming like Jesus? So just for a minute, what are the things that stop or hinder us developing as disciples?
Okay, make sure the other person has the chance to talk as well. The things that stop us developing to be like Jesus. All right, let's hear some of them. Okay, here's out of the mouths of babes and children. You're not a babe. What are some of the things that stop us becoming like Jesus?
Sin.
Sin. That will do it. What else? Donna? Not having a clear understanding of who Jesus is. Bit like the kids not knowing what they were looking for. Not knowing who Jesus really is, who we're becoming like. Laura? Not knowing who we are so that we can't be a Brad-flavoured Jesus or a Jesus-flavoured Brad. Yeah, not actually knowing who God's called us to be. That's a really big one, isn't it? All right. What are your thoughts, Brad, about that?
We also had, you know, some of the things is around offence.
Oh, yes, that'll do it.
And that can be in a couple of different ways. Some people kind of help people develop as a disciple in a really offensive way or a really arrogant way or a really non-Jesus kind of way. But other people, Jesus did offend some people. So it's kind of being willing for God to offend us in all the right ways. Is that heart,
yep.
Again, it's that heart posture of kind of going, I'm right, they're wrong. Our way of doing it's better than any other, you know. Obviously, you know, we're the right church. We do things perfectly here. And other churches just need to follow. It's just having that posture of, you know,
humility.
Allowing God's grace in all its different forms, but not comparing ourselves against other churches or comparing ourselves against the way other people are growing and becoming like Jesus or the way that they've, what they think at the current moment. It's just that posture of pride is going to
killer.
Be the biggest thing that's going to stop people from developing as disciples.
What about hoping that it just drops out of the sky, you know, and we just wake up one morning like Jesus? Is that how it happens?
Or just turning up on Sunday and if you cop your 30-minute sermon, you should just, the job will get done.
Well, the truth is there's something really powerful about being intentional in choosing to become like Jesus. And one of the people in our world who has made some intentional steps in becoming like Jesus is Sarah. So we've invited her to just share one of the ways in which she has really intentionally positioned herself to become like Jesus.
Thanks. I'm Sarah, and this year I have been doing our Overflow School of Revival. My path to School of Revival wasn't a direct one. My husband is on the leadership team for the school. And when we first talked about the school, I thought, that's a great idea for someone else who's more spiritual than me. And last year, I got to watch the school on Zoom and I got to process some things and I realized that that's a lie. And School of Revival is actually for anybody who wants to grow. I just wanted to share with you three little ways that School of Revival has helped me grow this year. The first one was by pursuing inner healing. We live in this tension where we're fully free and fully healed by Jesus, but we're also slowly becoming like him. And there are barriers to us fully realizing that identity. So for me, part of the school year has been realizing areas in my life where I'm believing lies about God or myself or the people around me. And I've been able to talk to the school directors, talk to the other students, actually got some counseling and done some sozos to help my heart be really full and free so that I can be more like Jesus. The second way is through community. We have a really lovely community at School of Revival. They're people who I wouldn't have gone deep with before this year. But we've created a culture of safety where I know that I can show up and be loved. And that helps me become more like Jesus. And the third way is just by embracing mystery and process. There are some things in the school year that confuse me, that I don't have the answers to. For example, I've been doing some Bible classes with Zach. If you think his preaching is good, you should see his Bible teaching. It's like a whole other level. But we've been reading the Old Testament, and there's some things in there that are really shocking and don't gel with my idea of who God is. And I have to sit in that place of mystery and believe that God is who he says he is. And instead of being offended by the things I read, drawing closer to God and saying, what's actually going on here? Like, reveal the truth to me. So I'm able to embrace the process and be okay with letting God direct my journey to be a disciple.
Thanks, Sarah. Isn't that so encouraging and exciting to position? You know, there's that beautiful posture of humility and hunger that positions us to grow as disciples.
Just one final challenge around that is just, you know, again, developing a disciple, becoming like Jesus is the best thing that we could possibly do, or the best thing that we could help someone else to do. But it's one of the most difficult things that we are ever going to take on. It takes everything for us to happen. And Jesus didn't water down the challenge. He said, if you truly desire to be my disciples, you must disown your life completely. If you want to desire to be my disciples, you must disown your life completely and embrace my cross, my sacrifice as your own, and to surrender to my ways. Can I just pause and I just ask Holy Spirit? Just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll encourage us to know what we're stepping into as we outwork this vision, that this is just the adventure of something that's brilliant, the adventure of becoming the best form of ourselves that we could possibly do in allowing Jesus to be our Lord and the Holy Spirit to transform us. But Father, help us to know that it ain't just going to happen, and it's not going to come without effort, without time, without a commitment, without a surrender, without being willing to die to the things that we want for ourselves and allow the things that you want for us to take precedence. So just help us in this journey to have a posture of saying, yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. One last question, which is, what's helped us grow? What's helped you grow to be more like Jesus? Just perhaps share one thing that's actually helped you. Like Sarah could identify the school. What's one thing that's helped you in the past and maybe still helping you to become more like Jesus? It might be a person. It might be somewhere where you placed yourself. What's helped you grow to become more like Jesus? All right. Again, some quick answers. What's helped you grow to become more like Jesus? Jason, you're looking very intelligent there. Accountability. You've made yourself accountable to somebody or some people, allowed people to help you to grow and to let people challenge you. It's a really powerful thing to do. Get feedback and accountability. What's another thing that's helped people grow? The people that you mix with, having a community of people, like Wiser Ones or a small group. It's a great way to grow.
Andy was saying just knowing that you're called, just that knowing that God's calling you to be in a particular place or a particular role or a particular church, just it means that when the trials come, you know that God's in it, in the trials, not just that confidence of the call.
So all of those things that help us grow and we are intentional about.
I think it's simply Jesus, you know, it's just coming back. I think a lot of Christianese and a lot of churches actually don't focus all that much on Jesus, where, you know, Colossians tells us that Jesus is the image of God. He created all things. He sustains all things. Everything was created through him, for him, and forever. Keeping Jesus front and center of our lives, keeping Jesus in the center of our relationships, keeping Jesus in the center of our ministries, and getting to know him better, or helping people be reminded of who he is.
So Jesus is the focus. That's great. Can I share the Leif Hetland quote? That's beautiful, isn't it? The nicest thing we can ever do for anyone is lead them closer to Jesus. And Leif Hetland says, when people believe in Jesus, they get saved. When people know that Jesus believes in them, they get transformed. Jesus believes in us becoming more like him. And that's actually that incredible invitation to have Christ formed in us. Is this something we can make sure somebody else disciples us enough? Or is this something we've actually got to take responsibility for ourselves?
Yeah, so it's you know, what we do in our own time, the times that we spend with God by ourselves are just as transformational, as well as what someone's shared about being around company of believers and placing ourselves under, you know, submission of people who have spiritual gifts that can help us to grow, and being willing to place ourselves to help other people grow. It's just relationships are key. And that's so how Jesus grew his disciples.
Being intentional to develop as disciples, what are we doing as a church?
In terms of, yeah, being really intentional over the next couple of years, starting in July, we've joined a whole movement of churches in Australia that are really positioning themselves to build a discipleship culture right across the church. So being able to create an opportunity of whether someone walks in for the first time to give them something that they could practically do to become more like Jesus, or someone who's been here for 50 or 60 years and wants to continue to grow in their faith and their giftings by giving them. So just giving opportunities for people to become more like Jesus in every facet of what Overflow Church is about. So that's, again, quite a challenge, and it's going to take us a couple of years to see that fully outworked, but we're going to be commencing that journey in the second half of this year. So a team of people who have got a passion for people becoming like Jesus and have got some leadership giftings, they'll be joining us to help explore what does that look like for Overflow. So it's not just what's another church doing and we'll do the same thing, it's what's God calling us to do that's relevant in our setting, in our culture, for Madawi, for the people that we've got here and for the people that are going to be coming, so that everybody has an opportunity of taking the next step of becoming more like Jesus.
That's great. And we'll be putting on some things that will give opportunity for people to intentionally position themselves for that growth as well. One of the people who's done that recently and has positioned themselves to grow is John. So he's just going to share what that's looked like for him in this last season. And that's really exciting to be watching what God's been doing in your life, John.
Thank you, Chris. Hi, everyone. Yeah, there's a number of areas that I've really been recently growing Christian faith walk. And one area, of course, has been attending the home group I've been going to different Connect groups over the years, but stopped going there before COVID, or a little bit before COVID, and because I was just finding just so tired during the week. I worked long hours, and so I stopped going. But then my wife, Vicky, decided that she also wanted to go to a group a little bit closer to home during the week. So she ended up going to a group in Raymond Terrace. And this particular group, There's a whole heap of ladies in the group and just Jonesy. And I was dead against it. I was not going to go. And she literally dragged me to this group, to the Connect group, literally dragged me to it. And all I can say is I really thank you, Vix, for dragging me to it, because it has been fantastic. My the growth there, my Christian growth, has really had a real effect on it, and I've really got so much out of it. Now, let me explain just how it's affected my growth. And first up, every time I used to go to, well, before COVID, going to church, I was so tired during the sermon, I'd virtually be half asleep, and I couldn't remember half of what was in the service. So by going to, now going to the Connect group, we recap on what's covered in the service before, and even during COVID, even though it's online. And those sessions we have during the Connect group have been absolutely fantastic in just refreshing my memory on what was covered on the service before, and that has really been helpful in my growth. That's one area of growth. But another area, of course, every time we have the Connect group, Christine and Mark, they always ask, what's been a high, what's been a low for the week, and what can we pray for? And that has been so incredible. And God has answered so many prayers within the group and different requests, prayer requests and things that they've been going through. It's been remarkable in my growth, just seeing God answering those different prayers. Another area of has been really great with the Connect group is just the relationship building. Now, you go to church, and like before COVID, now, and you can only build a certain relationship with people. There's only a certain amount of time. And quite often it's just, you know, surface. But going to the home group has been, we can really, I've been able to build a lot better, closer, more closer relationship with the ladies and everyone there in the group, because you've got a little bit more time. And we've had dinners together at different people's places and at Junction and so forth. And we've really been able to have the time to build a more deeper, meaningful relationship. And that's been fantastic. So all I can say is, the home groups have been really beneficial in my growth as a Christian, in my faith walk, and I really highly recommend it. If you're not going to a Connect group, it can really help you in building your relationship with Jesus.
Love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. So
and I just honour John as well, because we also had a fathering course and the World at Heart weekend, and both of those, it was like calling up and like, what's all this about? And I'm not too sure. And just came along and wholeheartedly and just allowed himself to be transformed just by taking up the opportunities that are provided. In terms of Connect groups, we're really going to be ramping up Connect groups in Term 3. So in July, we'll be setting up new groups for people who aren't in groups. And in Term 3, really that coming back to Jesus and just helping us get a better appreciation of who he really is, who he wants to be for us, a little bit more than maybe what we see on the surface. So we've got some brilliant material that we're going to be using to help broaden and deepen our relationships with Jesus. And as John alluded to, it's so much more helpful to do that in the context of a small group setting where you get to ask and hear other people's stories and experiences or questions or doubts. It's just the richest discipling learning experience you're going to get, because it's two-way, whereas it's a little bit harder on a big gathering like this.
Thank you for being patient. You guys have been amazing listeners. We're just going to give God opportunity to just touch our hearts now as we finish our service. Was there any last thing that you wanted to say, Brad? I just really want to minister Jesus.
Oh, just that I love that we're already on the journey. This isn't something that we're starting. This isn't like people aren't like Jesus. No. People haven't been wanting to be disciples. It's just so encouraging. And it's more about setting a tone and a posture and a culture for the people that God's going to draw into this place through us as we do it, outwork this vision. And it's, you know, particularly just making it just such a rich experience for people where they come in on Sunday gathering and it's not just a, you know, sit, listen, go, nothing, but that we've got a part to play in becoming more like Jesus in these settings, but more so, and it's that, I guess helping, that's that double banger of, if you're helping someone to become more like Jesus or to understand who Jesus is, you're going to become more like Jesus in the process. And it's probably the best way that you can become more like Jesus is helping someone else understand him, experience him through what your relationship with them.
All right. Well, can I invite you to stand, because you've been sitting for a while. We're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to just begin to put before us a vision. We're talking about this as a vision. Just ask, Father, that you would begin to give us a picture of what life would look like, our individual life would look like as we become more like Jesus, and our together life, our family life. Jesus, as we talked about this being an intentional thing, not an accidental thing, we're just inviting you now to put someone on our heart that we could encourage in their walk with Jesus. Just invite the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind. It might be someone's face, it might be someone's name that drops into your spirit. Somebody that Holy Spirit's inviting you to invest in, to encourage. To champion in their walk with Jesus. Father, I'm asking that we'll be a company of people that every time we gather together, we're looking for someone to encourage in their following Jesus. And Father, for each of us, whether it's participating in a discussion or in a small group or school of revival or putting aside a distraction and being intentional about discovering more about you, Jesus, who you really are, we're inviting you to do that in us now as well. Father, I thank you for every person here who has a heart to become more like your Son, Jesus. And I bless each of us with that passion, with that wholeheartedness, with the family connection, and with that intentionality that sees us go after the goal of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let us fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Because you're the one who starts and finishes our faith and brings it to completion. And I bless your people. I bless them this week to become more like you, Jesus. And everyone who agreed said,